we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldview.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you this afternoon on this Thursday. I'm with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Walker with you Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Always good to have you, and hope you tune in every day and get a good mix of education and equipping and inspiration and the stories and the interviews and all the different things that we do here at AFR so that you can be a good biblical citizen. That's the goal, every one of us, man. If we if we each do our part, if we rebuild the wall right there in our backyard, we can save the nation. I really believe that. I know a lot of people don't. I know a lot of people have given up. They've said, you know, it's all over. It's done for. I mean, look at the chaos, look at the corruption, look at the evil that's marching across America, and they've just given up and checked out. I can't do that. I just can't do that. Even if we are going to lose the nation, even if we are in that Jeremiah situation where he knows the plans he has for us, plans to prosper us and all that good stuff, but we're marching off to 70 years of captivity, even if that's true, even if America is going to continue to fall apart, I'm going to do my duty. I'm going to do my part where I've been parked. I'm going to do exactly what he said in Jeremiah. Marry your wives, have your children, plant your gardens, build your homes, do the things I've called you to do. In other words, live out this laws of nature and nature's God that I created. Live out your purpose. Live out what I put you on earth to do. And for us, in our particular moment in time, for our this minute in the context of world history and thousands of years, this one moment that we've been blessed with to be here, we have a duty and a responsibility to obey everything that he commanded. And Jesus gave us a great commission that is not just to get people to walk the aisle, but to make disciples of all nations, to teach them to obey everything that he's commanded. So we've got this responsibility right now to use this incredible gift we've been given of freedom. And frankly, I mean, even when you look at the bad in America, it's still better than anywhere else in the world. When you look at the corruption and the problems that we're facing, you know what? It's human nature. It's unfortunately what happens when you violate the laws of nature and nature's God. And so even when you look at all of that mess, you still got to say, hey, it's still the greatest nation in the history of the world. We still have more freedom and more opportunity, and we have more at our fingertips, more opportunity at our fingertips to turn it around than anywhere else. So you can complain about, you know, like the crime rate. You can complain about the corruption of the federal government, the corruption of your own state government, or even your local government right now. You can complain about the horrific education system and all these indications of the American culture crumbling. But at the end of the day, we're in charge. So all this bad stuff that's happening, you can look at it and go, well, if they hadn't done this and they hadn't, well, guess what? We are the they. Because here in America, we are Caesar. God gave us a nation where we're in charge. We are the leaders. We, the people. And so if we don't like what we see right now, we don't just get depressed and go curl up in the fetal position and, you know, cry and whine and complain. We look at the results of what's going on and we say, what's causing that? Well, what's upstream of that? What would cause a people to allow for drag queen story hour at the local school? I mean, at the local library and at the local schools. What would cause a people to allow for their children to be taught to hate their own nation, to hate themselves, to hate each other? What would cause a people, a society, a neighborhood, a nation, what would cause it to allow for, at the local school where the kids are, the school district to bring in a psychologist who's going to try to convince the kids to transition and little boys to become, or at least think they're becoming, little girls and vice versa? Which is what happened right down the road from where we're building the Patriot Academy campus in Burney, Texas. Unbelievable, the stuff that's going on. So what would cause that? So instead of just looking at it and going, oh, I can't believe that, look at it and go, something's happening upstream of that. Something is happening to cause a culture to respond like that. Because the laws of nature and nature's God are just responses to what God put in place. It's blessing or curse right there in front of you. You can have blessings or you can have curses. What determines that? How you act, the decisions you make, the priorities that you make. And so just like with the children of Israel, when they obeyed God's commands, When they put God first, wow, blessings abounded. When they ignored that, when they went with the, you know, their own desires, or they followed other nations, when they followed the customs and the gods of other nations, these false gods, when they did that, yep, curses, lots of negative, lots of destruction. So we see it all throughout the Old Testament, over and over and over again. The pattern is there. And now in America, we're following that pattern. We started with all kinds of really, really good stuff, man. We taught the right stuff to our kids. We embraced the right things. We honored God. We acknowledged God. Our leaders acknowledged God. Our leaders had days of prayer and fasting, called on their state or their nation to prayer and fasting over and over and over again. They infused the Bible into the culture, and wow, what a result. Greatest nation in the history of the world, most powerful, most free, most wealthiest, the most benevolent nation. All the good stuff, right? Because you put good stuff in, you got good stuff out. And so now as we look at the crumbling and the destruction, we work our way upstream, and what do we see? We see leaders that are making the opposite decisions of what our founding fathers and our leaders throughout history made here in America. Now we find leaders who are choosing the curses. They're choosing the actions that produce the curses. And so then you got to go upstream from them. How did we get those leaders? Well, we got those leaders because we, the people, sat by and got spoiled and either did not participate. The church itself, we as believers, weren't salt. The salt stayed in the shaker. Therefore, the meat started spoiling. Or when we did participate, we did so out of ignorance. Yep, calling us ignorant. I am. We acted out of ignorance. We even had situations where we think we're voting for good, but we're actually voting for evil because we haven't studied the principles, we haven't studied the candidates, we haven't studied any of that. We just go in and vote for whatever name sounds good or whatever. And so either out of laziness and not participating, or out of ignorance and participating in a foolish way, we produced those leaders. And we now are responsible for those leaders. And so now we've got this wake up happening where people are going, yep, I don't like the results. I see the bad results. I'm working my way upstream. I'm seeing the bad leaders. And oh, wow, I see that I am responsible for those leaders. So now what do I do? And that's the question we get all the time, more than anything else. Okay, I'm awake. I'm ready. I realize I'm convicted. God has convicted me to realize I've been given the talent. And it's the parable of the talents. I've been the wicked and slothful servant. I buried the talent. I didn't participate in what God had given me. I want to be the other servant. I want to be the good and faithful servant. I want to be faithful with what I've been given. I want to rebuild the walls right here in my neighborhood. I want to participate. What do I do? So that's what we get asked all the time now. There's an awakening happening in the country, and people of faith are saying, I realize I need to do something. What do I do? Well, folks, we know what to do. This is what we do, actually. We study God's word to say, how do we treat our neighbors? How do we form societies? How do we do our elections well? How do we pick the right leaders? How do we raise up leaders? How do we train the next generation? We've been studying that for 30 years, how to do those things, and we do it. I think we do it pretty well, actually. God's blessed us with the right people and the right programs. He's brought along the right partnerships with American Family and others. And we've been able to raise up a lot of great leaders now serving in legislatures and school boards and Congress and all over the place. So we know what to do to turn this thing around, but the harvest is plenty and the workers are few, which means we need more of you involved. We need you to be the catalyst in your community, you to be the one that is hosting a biblical citizenship class or is running people for school board or participating. We need everyone listening right now to say, here am I, Lord, send me. I want to do something. And maybe God's calling you to run for office. Maybe you felt that. And honestly, it's not enough. I think it's never enough for just you to think you should run for office. You need confirmation on that. Your spouse, you need people outside of your family that come to you and say, you know what? We need you on the school board, or we need you on the city council. Have you ever considered running for office? You've led well in the pulpit or in your business or in your family or whatever it might be. Have you ever thought about serving for a few years? I know it's a sacrifice. It takes a tremendous amount of sacrifice to run for public office. And so if you had people kind of nudging you, coming alongside, saying, hey, you know what? You ought to think about this. We need you. Then you need to really think about doing that. And then start surrounding yourself with the right people and start learning what it takes to run for office. And in fact, we've got a little online thing you can go through called Campaign Coach. at patriotacademy.com. And if you do that campaign coach, you'll know after you go through that process online, you'll know whether or not, at least you'll have a much better idea of whether or not, is God really calling me to run, or is he calling me to find somebody else to run? But that's one of the ways that you can serve. So you can be a Constitution coach, host a biblical citizenship class. You can run for office. You can find young people that you can mentor. You can start going and testifying at your local school board or city council or legislature or whatever it might be. There's just an unlimited list of ways you can participate and be a part of the solution. So all of that very long intro pretty much used our first segment today to simply say, we have a job to do. It's time to do it. This is no time to sit on the sidelines. This is no time to give up. This is a time to rebuild the walls. I feel like we're in a Nehemiah situation right now, folks. We have the tools right there at our fingertips. God's given us the opportunity. We have the freedom to do so. So we're not yet living in a totalitarian state where we're not allowed to grow and build and raise up a remnant and a generation that understands these things. So we need to take advantage of it now, which means getting involved in the education of the children in your community and church and support legislation that creates school choice and all these other opportunities to get kids into environments where they can learn these things. There's an unlimited list of things to do. And hopefully something I've said has pricked something in your heart and you're like, yeah, that's where I'm called. That's what I want to participate in. Because I don't know how much longer the window's going to be open. But I know we've got this really amazing window of opportunity to get people involved, to convert millions of people to the principles of liberty and to biblical worldview. And the attacks are going to increase as we're doing that. So we got to be ready. We got to team up. We got to build community. We got to get together with people. You need a community where you live. You need to be building community at your church or in your home with other people that care about these things and get them to come alongside you and then start sharpening each other's countenance, exchanging ideas, looking for ways to participate. Get together with people, just to listen to this program every day. Start promoting the program to your friends and family, saying, hey, have you been listening to At the Core? Man, this is a show that will equip you and inspire you. It'll get you engaged in what's going on in the community. If you're not doing that, please do. Just take the links at our website and share that with folks so that they can be encouraged as well. You'll notice, Walker and I both, we take a Joshua and Caleb approach to this. You don't listen to At the Core and get depressed because of the destruction that's going on. You listen to At the Core and you get awakened to the destruction that's going on, and then you get empowered to go do something about it, to actually respond in a way that can change things, that can move this thing in the right direction. That's what happens here at the Core. So when we hit all these core issues and we talk about the news items, and I'll be doing that in the next segment. I'm going to be talking about Tucker Carlson and Fox News and what's happening there and what's next with Tucker and my experience with Tucker and why I think he's such an important player in what's going on in our country right now. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about the announcement that Joe Biden is running for president again. I have to laugh. I'm sorry. I have to laugh to keep from crying. I have said for ever since he got elected, I guess, that there's no way this man will be the nominee for the Democrats in 2024. I still stand by that prediction, and I will be shocked if I'm wrong about that. If Joe Biden is the nominee for the Democrat Party for the 2024 election, first of all, I'll eat crow. I'll admit I was wrong. I'm hoping it's flavored, it's cooked well, and it's got some seasoning on it. But I'll eat the crow. I'll do it right here on the program if I have to. But secondly, it's the death of the Democrat Party. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And I frankly don't – I'm not for the death of the Democrat Party. It's one reason I talked on the program about RFK running as a Democrat and why that's healthy for America, because it's healthy for the Democrat Party. You need a two-party system. One-party domination is not good. Whether it's Democrats or Republicans, we've seen what one-party Democrat domination in Washington, D.C. has done to the country. One-party Republican domination would not be good either. So we're going to talk about the fact that Biden's saying he's running, but there is no way he will be the nominee for the Democrat Party. And a little bit about RFK, a little bit more about RFK, and we'll maybe even talk a little bit about the Republican candidates running for office, the ridiculous notion by Nikki Haley as a candidate that she wants to invite. She's courting Disney. She's actually courting Disney to come to South Carolina. How ridiculous is that? And then we'll also take your phone calls. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Stay with us. We'll be right back on At the Core.
Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Here Jesus instructed his disciples to cross a lake and meet him on the other side of it. As they went, they were met by a violent windstorm that halted their progress. Often in our Christian lives, we receive clear instruction from the Lord, only to be met by an obstacle that halts our progress. We must, however, recognize that the onset of a storm does not cancel out God's instructions. Halted progress does not equal denied destination. When Jesus directed the disciples to go to the other side, he absolutely meant for them to get there. Delay does not equal denial.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you call Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself, because once I called Trinity, they took care of me, and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders, and they are a Christian-based company. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Hey friends, it's Jessica Peck, Dr. Nurse Mama, as your one-minute parenting coach. Does your teen have a code word to stay safe? Teens often get themselves in situations over their heads. They don't go out with the intent on driving home with someone who's been drinking. They don't plan to go on a date where they feel pressured. But it's hard to explain that over the phone sometimes. As parents, when we hear this news, we feel angry, but truthfully, we are terrified of something threatening their safety. Using a code word makes you a safe rescue in emergencies. It can be a single word or even an emoji. And when sent, it means I'll pick you up anytime, anywhere, no questions asked until the next morning. Then your teen is safe and emotions have cooled for rational conversation. I'll see you on the Dr. Nurse Mama podcast here on American Family Radio.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me this Thursday afternoon. We are talking about some of the headlines out there and also just a little bit of a, I guess, an encouragement, hopefully, to you as you look at the lay of the land and you realize, you know, where things are going and what's happening in the nation. You can get depressed if you're not careful. It's very important to have perspective, have biblical perspective, and have timeline perspective. In other words, to step back from the moment in time and look at the timeline of history and see God's hand moving in all of those things throughout our history, including what's happening right now. So I mentioned Tucker Carlson and the Joe Biden announcement. You know, listen, I just this much on Tucker. I think he's been one of the most important voices in America for years. And certainly the last 2 years, saying things on, you know, the major media, which Fox News has become part of the problem. Obviously, they kind of sold out after the 2020 election and as a part of that 2020. And it's just, look, the kids aren't the same as the previous generation in terms of the ownership and leadership. But here's the thing. Tucker Carlson was unashamed, man. I mean, this guy was bold as a lion and would say the things that.
Dr. Tony Evans has a hygiene tip that'll not only help you stay healthy physically, but spiritually, especially if these strange new days have you stressed out. He'll tell us about it today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You know, we've got this exercise where we're supposed to wash our hands 20 seconds and do it many times during the day. Let me give you a little secret. Use hand washing as prayer time. Just put the soap on your hands, you're washing them, have a conversation. Hey, Daddy. You told me not to worry. You told me not to worry about the virus. In fact, you told me be anxious for nothing, you said. So right now, I'm not going to worry. I know this is a problem out of control, but you're not out of control, and you're my daddy. So as I wash my hands, when you send your kids to wash their hands, teach them to pray. See, this is a great time because Philippians 4 says, when you are tempted to be anxious, that's an invitation to pray. So you always know you're supposed to pray because it always should be connected when you're tempted to be a worrier. And if you are going to wash your hands all day long, talk to your daddy all day long and get your focus on God, who is able to calm your fears. Don't misunderstand me. Corona, you ought to be concerned about. We ought to follow the directions that we're given by our government and by our leaders, but still be able to sleep at night, still be able to laugh, still be able to love your loved ones. You don't live in panic when you know you have a Heavenly Father. The problem is we have a world today that has forgotten that God wants to be their daddy.
World events only make sense when you see them through the lens of God's kingdom agenda. For more help doing that, request Tony's CD series, Clarity in a Crisis, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
All right. Sorry about that, folks. I my internet went down for a moment, and maybe it was because I was saying nice things about Tucker. Perhaps. I don't know if that's enough to get you canceled these days. Maybe it is. It's enough to get him canceled off of Fox for sure. Who knows what he's going to do, but not sure exactly when my signal went out, so I'll just say this. Tucker is an amazing guy, incredible voice for the nation. He's the Rush Limbaugh of this next generation from the standpoint of having the message that is needed for the patriots and the Constitution-loving folks in our nation when everything else, the narrative, is totally against them. On a regular basis, I mean, almost every day, he would be willing to take on whatever that subject was and say what nobody else was willing to say. And it would encourage the troops, equip them, inform them, give them perspective on things. So that's why they're canceling him. And honestly, it's going to be to his benefit. It's going to be to our benefit. Fox is a place that is crumbling and is going to be, you know, is no longer going to be the 800-pound gorilla in the conservative world. And getting rid of Tucker was a huge mistake. I mean, he was the one that was keeping conservatives tuning in, and they're leaving in droves. So I think for him, it's, you know, it's name your ticket. I'm sure that he's getting offers by the minute. And, of course, he had a video last night on Twitter that was great, talking about truth and speaking truth and the truth will win out. So no telling what kind of offers he's getting right now or what he is going to decide will become the best outlet. What will become the best way to distribute his message and for him to continue to speak into the culture. But his market will become even bigger. I had a chance to spend few days with him back in November, and it was the first time I was ever around him in that, you know, kind of private setting and an opportunity to really talk to him and hear him. And I will just tell you, he is one of the most genuine people I've ever been around. And certainly for someone that famous with that kind of a platform and voice, for him to have been as real as he was shocked me. I did not expect it, honestly, not at all. And, you know, I'm around a lot of people in the media world and political world and the fake, you know, pretension and all that abounds. Not with him. It was really cool. Really, really cool. It made me even more of a fan and supporter and just thankful for his voice and what he means to the American culture right now and what he means to frankly the fight for liberty in America. So I don't know. I don't have any inside baseball on where he's going to go or what he's going to do, but I am praying that God blesses it, and I'm praying that it's an even bigger format and that he reaches even more people. And I'm very excited to see what God has next for him. I had mentioned the Biden running. I not a whole lot to say about that, except that I still think he will not be the nominee for the Democrats. It's comical that they would put him in front of the American people for another 4 years. Would be a joke. There's no way. The man cannot, you know, he once in a while he has moments of lucidity and he's able to give a, you know, decent speech or respond to a question here or there. But for the most part, he's just not there. And everybody knows it. And of course, they're already saying he's not going to debate anybody in the Democrat primary. Listen, RFK is Robert Kennedy Jr. is already at like 15% in the polling. He's only been in the race for about 2 weeks, and he is a major threat. RFK is a major threat to the Democrat establishment. RFK is very anti corporate welfare and government corporate collusion, right? He's very much against Big Pharma's basically takeover of journalism and media. In fact, he was talking just the other day about how, I forget the number, it's something like 60% or 70% of ad revenue for these talk shows, these news shows on all the major news networks comes from Big Pharma. So just think about that for a minute. That means Big Pharma owns the news network. So when you get a COVID insanity like we've had, and you get them pushing these jabs that were never safe and effective, then you have major media lying to you and saying they're safe and effective, along with government saying they're safe and effective. And so you had this massive fraud on the American people, and it's because of the fact that they own the media. So that instead of having, if government came out and said that something was safe and effective that was not safe and effective, media would be the ones, the news would be the ones to call them on that. That's exactly what happened in the 70s. It was 60 Minutes, believe it or not, that actually was the one to tell the stories of the people that were injured from the swine flu vaccine. It's causing all kinds of injuries, 53 deaths, and that's all it took. 53 deaths, and they said, we're stopping the campaign. Because they were doing the same thing with swine flu, with the vaccines, in the 70s that they tried to, or, you know, that they tried to do the same thing, I should say, with that in the 70s that they ended up actually doing with the COVID vaccines. And it was the news. It was 60 Minutes that covered the stories, and you saw the response. In fact, there's a clip going around on social media of a story on 60 Minutes of a lady, I can't remember her name, but she basically was injured by the vaccine and all kinds of neurological issues, and they covered the story, and that's a powerful story, and it causes people to say, wait a minute, are you pushing something on us that's not actually safe and effective? And so you're allowed to have the debate and the discussion. Well, that didn't happen this time, because if you raised those questions, you were canceled. You weren't allowed to speak truth. You weren't allowed to even be on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or any of the major outlets. And all of the news outlets were bought and paid for by Big Pharma, so they weren't about to cover it and do the exposés that needed to happen to stop these injuries. And now millions of people have been killed or injured as a result of not having a true free press and not having the debate. And anyway, RFK was talking about that and making that point, and he's going to continue to do that. He is a nightmare for the left. He's a nightmare, frankly, for the coalition in Washington, D.C. of Big Pharma and big government and control over people. Because he's a Democrat with the most famous, most respected Democrat name in the history of the Democrat Party. And he is going to stand on those stages if they actually have any presidential debates, which right now they're saying they're not going to. They just want to crown Joe Biden again. Third world banana republic country stuff here. But even if they don't have the debates, he's got the outlet of being able to reach millions and millions of people. So RFK is a nightmare for them because he is bringing attention to the lies that were told. He is bringing attention to the deaths and the damage that was done. He's bringing attention to all of these things that they do not want to talk about. And he's a Democrat, not a Republican. So pretty, pretty amazing stuff. And I think that's the reason Joe Biden's mailing in his announcement for running for president again. That's the reason they're saying no debates, but it's not going to work. I do not believe it's going to work. I think there's too many people that have awakened. There's too many people that aren't going to fall for that again. He was able to campaign from his basement in 2020. It's not going to work again. And the fact that he's going to be 80, whatever, at the time, it's just that party is coming to an end. What's the line from Gladiator? The time for... what is it? How did they say it? Let's see. The time for honoring yourself will soon come to an end. That day is coming real soon. And no, I don't think it's going to be Kamala Harris. I think the Democrats are going to do everything they can to keep RFK from being the guy. I think Gavin Newsom is their guy. I think that's who they want to be the nominee in 2024. And the only thing worse than radical leftist turn your boys into girls and your girls into boys, President Joe Biden, is going to be Gavin Newsom, who's done the same thing for a long time, and he's all the same policies of Joe Biden, even further left than Joe Biden, but he's younger, slicker, looks good, sounds good, going to be more palpable to the American people. That's a dangerous combination, folks. So be aware, be on the outlook, and know that that's where we're headed. That's most likely. Most likely your 2024 race is going to be Gavin Newsom versus Donald Trump, or Gavin Newsom possibly versus Ron DeSantis. That is not over. That fight is still coming, I think. I you guys have heard me say what I hope would happen, or what I'd like to see happen, but you know what? I am not king for a day. I don't get to choose those things. And so I think we're still in for a bloodbath fight in the Republican Party nomination process. And so I mentioned before the break, Nikki Haley, who's in there trying to draw blood, trying to get in a few swings and get some support. And foolishly, she goes after DeSantis, just like I think Trump is foolish for going after DeSantis. I've said it a million times. Trump could unite the entire party and the nomination be done and over with if he would just say, Ron DeSantis is great because I made him great. I'm the reason Ron DeSantis did all those great things, and I want him to continue doing great things. If he would just do that, it's over. It's over. At that point, he unites the party. But instead, he's insulting Ron DeSantis, and he's attacking the very conservative policies that he says he's for. And so that's just a big – that is, and I don't know that that's Trump or if that's Trump handlers or that's Trump campaign, but it's foolish, and it's hurting everybody. It's hurting the movement. It's just not good. So it needs to stop. And Nikki Haley, who is just not the sharpest knife in the drawer, is out there now courting, as I said before the break, courting Disneyland. So she's basically saying, this is not her words, but this is basically what she's saying. Oh, you know what? I'm a new kind of Republican. I'm not rough and rude like Donald Trump, and I'm not anti-transgender and all of that like Ron DeSantis. I'm all for you carving up kids. I'm all for you grooming our children. I'm all for you taking the amazing Mickey Mouse, you know, Walt Disney dynasty that educated and was fun for generations of kids and was a wonderful place and a magical place to take our kids. I'm all for you taking that and turning it into a grooming center where you now want to use Disney and you want to use the behemoth that the Disney Corporation is to transition our children, to carve up our children, to corrupt our children. She's basically supporting that whenever she supports the Disney agenda and invites them to South Carolina and says, I'm not sanctimonious, what she's saying. I'm not Ron DeSanctimonious, what Donald Trump calls him. So she's just, I mean, I hope it's a death knell for her campaign. I cannot see her ever, you know, really catching fire anyway. But I hope at that point that's cold water poured on her campaign and she's out of the race in just a few months. But more than likely, somebody probably that's a big, you know, a Trump funder is funding her. Because she's somebody that can attack Ron DeSantis for Donald Trump. That's how this stuff works. So all these people that are getting in the race, most of them are in it to try to take down Ron DeSantis so that it clears the way for Donald Trump. Not that he needs the way. I mean, Donald Trump is the bull in the China closet right now. The nomination is his if he wants it. He can just roll over everybody and be the nominee. And that's probably what's going to happen no matter what. But all of these games are going to be played in the meantime. So that's a really long way of me saying Joe Biden, not going to be your nominee, Democrat Party. Not going to happen. There is no way. And I will eat crow right here on the program, on video, as long as I get to cook it first and have a little spice on it, if I turn out to be wrong on that. They're going for Gavin Newsom. The rest of it's a shell game. And it's a lot of it's just because he's president now. They don't want to, you know, him to be a lame duck president. And as soon as he says he's not running, that's what happens. He loses all, you know, power. And so the there won't be the same negotiating power with the Republican Congress or even with the Democrats in the Senate. So it's all a shell game right now, but this Joe Biden announcement ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Okay, we'll see if I'm right or wrong on that one. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values. Here's Bert Harper on the AFA Fishbowl Retreat 2023.
We are so determined to come alongside the church and to support pastors who share Christ with others, but also stand in the gap for righteousness. And Fishbowl will encourage that pastor to be that kind of a man.
Bert and his wife Jan are hosting again this year with speakers Jeff and Debbie Shreve from Real Truth for Today.
Every difficulty that comes into your life and my life, it's a test of faith. The stormy sea where Jesus is asleep in the boat, that's a test of their faith, and they didn't do very well. And so most of the time when we ask that question, why, God's response is, my child, just trust me.
The AFA Fishbowl Retreat 2023, September 26th through the 28th at the Riverbend Retreat Center in beautiful Glen Rose, Texas. Register at repairingthefoundations.net. repairingthefoundations.net or call 662-844-5036, extension 297.
Here's Ellis Kraft of Reach a Village Ministries.
The last verse in the Old Testament makes an amazing promise. Malachi 4:6, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Reaching villages with the gospel means reaching entire families. Children in unreached villages are vulnerable to abuse, trafficking, and spiritual poverty. But you can change that by helping reach a village with the gospel for the first time. More than 1 million villages are still waiting to hear. Your gift will be doubled and will help train and send local evangelists into an unreached village with the gospel. Go to reachavillage.org/AFR to find out more or call 833-7-REACH-7 or call 833-773-2247.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Appreciate you staying with me on this Thursday and excited to have a very special guest with us this afternoon. You can listen to our podcast right here on AFA by going to our website. But the Dr. Nurse Mama is with us, Dr. Jessica Peck. Jessica, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks so much for letting me join you.
Well, you could not be hitting a more important topic right now, at least as far as I'm concerned, because I got a real passion for the next generation and just the bombarding that they are being hit with right now. And you are a great coach, if you will, and if I can use that term, because we teach Constitution coaches, but you're a coach to parents on how to help their teens and to get through these tough years with everything that we're facing right now. And you cover all kinds of topics on the podcast. Yep. Also have a book, Behind Closed Doors, to help with those conversations. So there's so many directions we could take this thing. But just thank you for what you're doing. Parents don't know where to turn quite often when they're dealing with some of these subjects. And too much of the establishment in terms of education or even the schools, the churches, everything, are actually giving them anti-biblical advice. You're giving them biblical advice. How did you end up moving into that area from being a nurse to really almost, really counseling parents on how to counsel their kids?
It has been an amazing journey. So where I am now, this is Dr. Nurse Mama, the brain of a professor, the hands-on nursing experience, and the heart as a mom. One really important thing to know about me is I have four kids myself, three teenagers and one 20-year-old. So I just went through a whole year of having four teenagers at once. So I'm in the trenches with parents. As a professor, I'm deeply concerned about the research emerging on the statistics of mental health and all of the other health threats that are bombarding kids today. today. As a nurse practitioner, I meet families behind closed doors at a point of crisis they never saw coming. And as a mom, I know how it feels to want so badly to do a good job, but just feel overwhelmed and honestly hopeless. So I looked back at that's where I am today, but where I started was a girl with broken family relationships, as a timid community college student, and a mom in perpetual conflict with my teenager as I tried to learn how to parent when I didn't have a parent to show me how to do that. The opening scene of my book is actually my oldest daughter throwing a book at my head while I was driving when we were in an argument. So if you think I've got it all together, and that's why you're going to tune in, you will be disappointed, but I will share help and hope along the way and say I really want to decrease stigma and shame surrounding those challenging moments and find grace and restoration and freedom.
Well, you cover everything from, I mean, all the social media issues, cyberbullying, what your kids are getting into on social media, to tough topics like suicide and substance abuse, divorce, sex and sexting, pornography, social justice, gender. I mean, there's nothing off limits here, which is frankly what needs to happen. Too often we hope these topics don't have to be discussed, or we sweep them under the rug. We don't talk about them enough in the church. And so you're fearless on this. I mean, you hit them head on because you know the need's there. Like you said, I mean, you're experiencing it with your own teens. You know these things are needed to be talked about. There's not a single kid out there that's immune to all of these attacks from the enemy, and not a single family that's immune to these things. And so we all need to be addressing these things with our kids, and giving people a way to talk about that and discuss that is just huge. What do you say to parents right now that feel like, man, I just feel like I'm outgunned, I'm outnumbered, my kids are getting this stuff from everywhere else. How am I going to counter such an onslaught?
Well, you're absolutely right, because there's two factors that are influencing parenting today. One is this cultural sea change that we're having, and just things that we never faced before. We don't know how to parent through them because we've never been through them, and we're really flying by the seat of our pants. The second thing, though, is that if you look at each generation's defining moment, where were you on VE Day? Where were you when JFK was shot? Where were you when the Challenger exploded? Or where were you on 9/11? This generation is going to have that sentinel event as COVID. And all of those events before, they galvanized the country. They unified us. They brought us together. COVID has torn everybody apart, and kids are trying to pick up the pieces of that. And in the midst of that, we have, for the first time, in my view, in generational history, parents are completely replaceable by online sources. If kids don't like the advice their parents give, they can find an online echo chamber that tells them, oh yeah, your parents are totally out of touch. If the parents cut off financial support, they can go online and sell something or have a side gig or a side hustle and easily replace that money. If they don't want to live with their parents, one message saying, hey, my parents are terrible, who can I come stay with? And right there, they're there. So that makes it really hard. But there is hope. So that's really what I want to help parents find along the way. We can partner their new world perspective with our old school social skills that they desperately need, as I'm seeing skyrocketing social anxiety. We can partner those, and I believe that the best way to influence our children's worldview is by building healthy relationships, by not telling them what to do, but by you being the person they want to be. That's really the secret.
Wow, that was a lot there to unpack. So good. That's gold, man. I mean, everything in there was golden nuggets. And just that realization that parents are so replaceable now, and frankly, it used to in America, it was just a given that the parents really were in charge and had the, you know, parental rights was a fundamental principle, that the parent directs the upbringing of the child, and it would be offensive for the state or education or an alternative, you know, group to try to replace the parents. Today, not at all. I mean, the president just said the other day, you should never say it's your kids. They're everybody's kids. I mean, that's just so anti-biblical and anti-American. And then you have states passing legislation saying, hey, kids, come to our state and we'll do your, you know, sex change surgery even without telling your parents. So that kind of attitude, like you're talking about, it literally is. Those are big ways of replacing parents, but there's also just the small ways of, you know, used to be you lean on mom or dad when you're struggling with something or you're wondering about something. And if they go to other sources that don't have a biblical perspective, they're going to be easily led away. And so that leads me to what you said specifically about building the relationship. Vitally important. We too often, I think, have this just, we're so afraid our kids are going to go the wrong direction that we try just the, you know, just to lay down the law. You're only going to do this. You're only going to do that. And we don't build the relationship where then when they're struggling, they want to come to us. Instead, they go to somebody else. That was something Kara, my wife, was so adamant about, was the relationship is vital. We want to have a home where we're the ones they want to come to, where when they're grown, this is a home they want to come back to and bring their friends and that kind of thing. So touch on that a little bit. If a parent's out there thinking, man, you know, I already blew it, I already burned the relationship, or I've already been too hard, what can they begin to do to rebuild that and to open those doors again?
Well, if we're really honest, when we parent at the speed of a smartphone, we want instant gratification in parenting. We expect our children to immediately validate our parenting efforts, because I can go to any coffee shop, I can get on an app on my phone and order my coffee exactly the way I want it. And that's kind of how we treat parenting, almost like a Chia Pet. I don't know if you ever had one of those, but we want you know, just a little bit of effort, and that by the next day we have a plant and everything's good, right? Or we want to be like a virtual assistant where they come and tell us about our problem, we give them a little answer, and then take a survey about my service. But that's not how parenting works. We have to parent for the long game. So it's really like planting a pineapple. A pineapple takes 24 months to grow. You still water it. You still take care of it. And you have confidence that planting and harvesting do not happen in the same season. So our kids need to see that confidence in our eyes. We want to manage their behavior because it's an immediate feedback loop to them. Oh, I must be doing a good job as a parent because they're behaving the way that I want. Going after their heart is really difficult. So one of the things I do in Behind Closed Doors is it is not a book that you read that will just inform your perspective. This is a Jumanji style, like roll up your sleeves, your hands will get dirty, your feelings will get hurt, but the adventure is epic and the investment is so worth it. So I walk parents through a communication model that I use in professional practice called motivational interviewing, and it's how I get teens to talk to me every single day. And it's just four easy steps. Listen with your face, offer open-ended questions, validate their emotions, and explore next steps together. We walk through that over and over and over again till by the end, if you invest in that and you parent for the long game, you will see a big change in your relationship with your kid.
Powerful. Behind Closed Doors is the book. I know, folks, as you're listening to this, you're hearing those golden nuggets. You want to dive into that where you can actually make this investment in your kids, or you want to share this with a friend or family member or somebody at your church you know is that needs this. They got kids either close to the teenage years or maybe they're in the throes of attacks and they really need to lean in and build this relationship. I love your approach. It's exactly, honestly, as I'm listening to you, I'm going, it's a perfect parallel to what we're always saying here about saving the country and saving liberty. You know, this is a generational thing. You can't expect this microwave mentality of immediate gratification, go through the drive-thru and you've solved the problem in 5 minutes. It's just not going to happen. We've got to get back to that mindset of hard work, investing, maybe not even seeing results for a while, but you keep the investment going. You're saying the same thing about the relationship with the kids, and frankly, to save the country, we got to save the kids. So the most important political unit that exists is that family unit, and what you're talking about builds strong family. So it may not be, you know, the terminology you use, Dr. Peck, or it may not be even what you think about in terms of what you're doing, but I honestly believe you're helping to save liberty and save the nation, because you're saving communities by first saving families and saving those relationships with those teens.
That is exactly my mission, because you can't lecture your way to leverage behavioral change, and you can't argue your way into right relationship. You can only listen your way there. And so we really need new social skills to parent in a social justice, social media, social distancing kind of world. It's really, really hard, but it can be done. Another thing that I think that parents need to know is a lot of times they don't want to expose their kids to things they haven't been exposed to yet. But in this day and age, it is almost impossible to protect them from every negative cultural influence that's coming their way. So we need a good defense in that way, but we also need a good offense. So one of the things I do is help parents intentionally expose their children in a developmentally appropriate way that positions the parent as the expert and has an open door to say, you know what, I know about this and you can come and talk to me. I'll give you a specific example. My daughter actually goes to a Christian school. She was exposed to pornography for the first time in the fifth grade. A classmate was telling her about a YouTube video that they had watched. It was a cartoon video and she described this video to her. Now, what I had told my daughter was, you might see something on a screen somewhere that someone shows you of something that you don't understand and that makes you feel uncomfortable and that might even make your body feel uncomfortable. If that happens, you come to me and you talk to me about it. You will not be in trouble. I will help you figure it out. Well, that was all the information that she needed to know that this event prompted that. And then I was able to walk her through that. So we really have to be intentional and have a good offense and a good defense. The other thing I use the parenting coaching model all the time because when our kids are little, we teach them so many things. We teach them to eat, to ride a bike, to, you know, tie their shoes. But as they become a teenager, they really need a good, tough coach. A coach makes sure that the practice environment is safe. They push them when they need to be pushed. They rest. They make them rest when they see that they're burned out. They're going to celebrate their victories. They're going to learn from their setbacks. And that's really what we have to do, is make sure our kids have that safe environment to know that they can come back to us. A lot of kids, you know, they don't tell their parents things because they care so much about what their parents think of them. But the parents think immediately, oh, you lied to me. You kept this from me. But it's really just because they really do care so much about what their parents think. So one of the things I'm doing is helping parents leverage that. How do you talk about them when they're around? How do you, like when people see me and they say I have four teenagers, usually I'll get condolences or prayers right on the spot, you know, or, you know, ooh, this kind of reaction. But I'll say, you know what I love most about parenting teens? And I realize my teens are listening. We have so many easy ways that we can leverage our way into their heart and leverage their worldview, but we have to do it through relationships.
Oh, so good. So good. Yeah, I mean, that's everything you're saying. I 100% agree. It's kind of like, you know, I mean, we raised our kids a lot on Zig Ziglar's How to Raise Positive Kids in a Negative World. And, you know, people would say, oh, the terrible twos. We'd be like, no, it's the terrific twos. I mean, it's a wonderful time.
Yeah.
Same for you with the teenagers. It's like we were pretty close to that. We had four that were all almost in the teenage years together. And we had the time of our life. I mean, we absolutely enjoyed it because we did exactly what you're talking about in terms of building those relationships. Folks, I can't recommend it enough. You can get the book at drnursemama.com, drnursemama.com. It's also where you can listen to the podcast or at AFR. And man, what an important thing to do. Dr. Peck, I'm so glad God directed you into this medium and into this outlet and this very, very important role. We need it desperately. There's not enough of it out there. Most of the voices that parents are hearing, as well as the kids, are exactly the opposite of what they need to be hearing. And I love your attitude, just the playing offense, going on offense and not just defense, and really prepping the kids for that moment that's going to come. And so the advice you're giving on these tough subjects and how to prep them without exposing them yet or exposing them in the right environment, critical stuff. God bless you. Thank you so much for being on with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so appreciative.
All right, the website again, drnursemama.com, drnursemama.com, and you can listen to her on afr.net. Just, man, so many good programs on this network. You just can't beat it. Every area of life, folks. Biblical instruction for every area of life. That's what it really means to live out the Great Commission. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. So thankful for you listening today. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.